Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we have heat tickets to give away today. Giving away a pair of heat tickets every single day this week. Heat and Sixers, Monday, November 18th. Keep listening. I think we gave away the tickets in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday. So probably 2 o'clock hour has passed us by. So I can't do it in the 2 o'clock hour. I would imagine maybe the 4 or 5 o'clock hour. Today, we'll give away the heat tickets and see where that leads us. Today is also National Nachos Day. We will celebrate that. Joe Zagacki is going to join us this afternoon. Talk some Miami Hurricanes with him. They've got Georgia Tech on Saturday, but you had the college football playoff release last night, and Canes are looking good. They've got 3 games to keep that up and hopefully continue on this track that they're on. And we're going to have a little fun college football postseason, first postseason up to 12 games. So we've got that going on. And Rob Pizzola is going to join us today. Rob Pizzola from Canada. He's got hopefully some winners for us, including the Dolphins game next Monday night, Veterans Day, against the LA Rams. Tonight, the Heat are in action. They're in Phoenix. You can hear the game here on this radio station. Phoenix is a 5.5-point favorite over the Heat tonight. Solana, told you earlier, Devin Booker over-under was 25.5. Anything else jump out at you? Bradley Beals, 15.5. Terry Rozier, 15.5. Tyus Jones, 9.5. Grayson Allen's on the Suns, 8.5.
Yeah, he was like their big addition last offseason. Remember when Phoenix added Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, like they went out of their way to get Grayson Allen as well.
Nikola Jovic tonight, over-under is 6.5. No Pella Larson props for tonight's
not yet.
Game.
The disrespect. Solana. The disrespect to the Larsonist.
Anything jump out at you there?
Not really. I mean, it's tough with the Suns because you just never know. The other night, Devin Booker only had 13. KD and Beal both went off. You just never know with them, right? Like, who is going to have the big scoring night?
Tyler Hero, over under on threes made is 3.5.
He's been knocking them down, man. Like, he's been really, really good shooting threes. He's committed to what the Heat are trying to do, which is shoot threes or get to the rim. Period. End of story. All his shots have either been at the rim or from beyond the arc.
You got that tonight. Preheat starts when? 6:45? 7:45, I guess.
7:45 tonight. 7:45.
I don't think you told us an under in 3 years.
I didn't tell
the Heat.
I didn't tell you an over. I didn't tell you an over.
Oh, he's 3.5. Oh, man, he's been knocking him down. Yeah. Jimmy, 17. Oh, my goodness. Jimmy's going to go crazy. Bam, 18. Oh, Bam's going to score 48.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I Bam, up until 2 nights ago, or I'm sorry, when they were in Washington on Saturday, hadn't scored. He hadn't been taking shots. He was averaging 9.5.
Hey, if Bam was at 18.5, like you just said, I would bet the under in a heartbeat. I think he's at 15.5 tonight. He's been hovering at 15.5, 16.5 for the entire season and hasn't done really anything otherwise to make them raise that total. I still imagine it's coming because we talked about it before the season. This is the Bam season. This is Bam and the rest of them when it comes to the Heat. It hasn't played out that way yet, though.
No, I thought it was. I kept saying that in the offseason, but it's not. Like, they're not running things through Bam, which is weird because he's probably the best player on your team, isn't he?
That's why we talked about it. That's what we talked about before the season. Like, this is Bam's year to shine and show that, yeah, you got to build around him for the future. Still waiting a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's any Dolphins props yet.
We have no ones. Sorry,
Dolphins. Solana. Ooh, Dolphins line is down to 1.5. Dolphins were 2.5-point dogs since the game was released on Sunday night. Dolphins are down to 1.5-point dogs. I wonder why that is.
You betting it?
I'm having a difficult time. I've told you all week. I'm having a difficult time finding a path to victory for the Dolphins on Monday night. I don't think they're a great primetime team as it is. And then you add in an entire West Coast trip. And I do think that there's some sort of emotional letdown. You needed to beat Buffalo more than LA, you know. And you go and you play a good game against Buffalo. Two is fantastic. You still can't come out with a win, so... I'm having a tough time getting
it. It's a 305.
Dale.
God
bless. Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome, and I hate nachos. They are overrated.
What? I don't believe that for a second. I believe you're saying that because Solana told you to say that. I do not believe that you don't like nachos.
I did tell him to say it for the record, but it's because he told me after the first segment that he didn't like nachos, and it's the most ridiculous
thing I've
ever heard. You like
stuff that's plain, right? You like plain things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wants...
You don't like nachos, Jimmy?
No, never been a nacho fan.
He once ordered a hot dog at Costco and just ate the glizzy raw. No ketchup, no mustard, nothing.
But plain.
Plain.
Just a glizzy bread?
Just a raw
glizzy bread, Jimmy?
Yeah. That's how Appel eats a lot of his food. He likes it plain.
That's the ailment. It's like on the spectrum.
I don't know. I just think some people don't like condiments. Like, they don't like putting stuff on their food. They're grossed out by a lot of things. But not like eating a hot dog without anything to me is just bizarre.
Come on, that was only one time.
I don't even like to eat French fries without dipping them in anything. Yeah. It's just too dry.
Yeah.
Oh, there has to be ketchup That's with crazy. Fries.
But just a dog and a bread, just a glizzy bread.
We got to get Crowder reconnected because he's super delayed and his voice is cutting in and out.
I just got a connectors in my house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, turn them on or something. But we got to get you reconnected because you're on a delay and you're popping in and out. Yeah. Nobody's interested. Not interested.
What are you holding?
Connectors.
We don't know what you're holding.
That Alexa.
Looks like a diffuser.
It's a Google extender.
Yeah, he's so delayed on that.
Yeah.
Let's disconnect and reconnect because you're way, way delayed. Let's do headlines. Joe Zagacki is going to join us this hour. Let's do headlines with Solana, brought to you by Alejandro Solana. Brought to you by Alejandro Solana. That's funny. That's very sporting of you to sponsor the headline, Solana. That's
I got some cash. That's nice. Yeah.
All right. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Hawk, since we have a second here, and you, me, and Jimmy are the only ones connected, you saw Stranger Things is coming back. The new season is coming
2025,
back.
2025, though.
Yeah, yeah. But they announced it. Months. So we're back, baby, with Stranger Things. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the final go-round, by the way. This is it. They're all, you know, in their 50s, and they can't keep putting on these outfits.
Yeah, all these kids are like 25 already.
I think some of them are older than that.
Crazy.
Six is married. She got married. She married Bon Jovi's son.
You mean 11?
11, whatever.
You call her Six?
Yeah. Is her name Six?
11. Name's 11.
I'm thinking of Sixto Sanchez.
Man, I'm so happy that guy's gone. Oh.
No one happier than you.
Yeah, man. What a delight. So the Hurricanes, they got the respect, Hawk, from the first college football playoff ranking from the CFP committee. They got the respect, right? Like, that isn't that what you were looking for?
Yep. Yep. I thought they were going to be number five. I thought strength of schedule, and admittedly, it's been an easy schedule, but you can only play. And I don't think it was intended to be an easy schedule. Florida shouldn't have been easy. Louisville, you would think, might be ranked. FSU, you would imagine, would have been ranked coming off last season for sure. I mean, they're going to play them regardless every year. So I don't think it was an intentionally easy schedule. Just happened to work out that way. But yeah, I'm happy with their placement.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, that Ball State week three schedule was tough, man. That matchup.
Not everybody's going to have a tough one every single week, but you can't tell me looking at a schedule going into a season at Florida to open the season, Florida State coming off an undefeated season, Louisville's always a decent program. Like, you can't tell me that that looked like an easy schedule.
No, no, you're right. Yeah, FAMU followed by Ball State, followed by USF was, it's just a gauntlet that you guys had to go through.
I have to tell you, USF is not the easiest school in the world to get past.
USF? Have you seen their their record?
They just beat FAU.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're talking about.
Is it good now?
I don't know. We'll let you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Much better because he responded to me right after I talked.
Hey, look at there.
The thing is, you set up all these things. You set up these connectors, but then I don't know if you actually connect to them. I don't know if you know how to actually connect to them.
I don't know if he sets them up, though. I don't think he would know how to set it up.
Yeah. No, a man came to the house and put some stuff in. He left stuff in my hallway. It was like, this is, I don't know, the big net, like to make a net over your house, he kind of explained it. Where you put a bunch of these little, you put a bunch of boxes around the house and it makes like a little
dome.
You had
your house tented?
No, yes, I had a Wi-Fi tent put over my house.
Wow. All right, I found this on CBSSports.com, guys. I wanted to run it by you. NFL midterm grades for each team. Midterm grades. They rank every single team. They grade every single team.
Should I guess?
Yeah.
Guess what the Dolphins grade? Is it a letter grade?
A letter grade. The Dolphins are at 2-6. What letter grade have the Dolphins been given? CBSSports.com.
C-.
I'm
going to
guess D.
C-. According to CBS Sports, they write.
Why would you give them a C minus? Just out of curiosity, you're grading on a scale because Tua was out.
I'm grading on a scale because Tua was out, but also Tua doesn't play defense, and the defense wasn't balling. Like, I don't think CBS Sports put in the context of Jalen being out, Chubb being out. It's just your efficiency in this league, and their efficiency in this league is not good. And then once you bring in Tyler Huntley, you have a bye week, and your offense still can't do anything. Like, I guarantee they haven't given Mike McDaniels an A either, because that was my upset point with them, is that y'all had 2 weeks to get ready and still couldn't put up no damn points.
Here's what they wrote. Tua Tagovailoa's injury significantly derailed the Dolphins' season, as Miami just didn't have anyone who could hold the fort when Tagovailoa was out with the concussion. Dolphins are 0-2 since Tua returned, but have averaged 27 points per game. The Dolphins have been inconsistent throughout the year, and Tagovailoa's injury has the offense 29th in points per possession. Maybe too late for Miami to show its true potential in 2024.
Do you see them winning next Monday night?
No. No, I don't. I think it'll be a good game. I think it's going to be like the Bills. I think they can compete with teams, but I just don't see them coming out on top in the fourth quarter.
That's my thing. Like, I just have a tough time getting there. Like, I think they're going to be competitive and I think the offense will look good, but I watched the Arizona game and the Buffalo game. So what, like, I don't know what more offense could do.
So like they said, Tua's injury was a big, big damper. We all know that, and Tua can play ball, but we've seen two games now where they score 27 points a game and they still got their ass whooped. Like, so what, what's going to change? We didn't add anybody. Is the offensive line getting better? Is there anybody coming back from injury? Is Cam Smith going to be better? Can Marcus May cover a tight end? Are we going to keep switching out inside linebackers because David Long got benched and Walker Jr., I've never seen him before in my life. He made a bunch of tackles, but they were all downfield. I don't see the path to overcoming this losing. And I believe in Sean McVay. And honestly, Matt Stafford is balling right now.
Yeah, he's
Matt
got
Stafford
it together.
Can play ball. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Who do they have after the Rams, Solana?
The Raiders, I believe, here.
Oh, that's right. You told us that. Yep.
Yeah, Hard Rock Stadium.
We can do that. We can win it. We can beat them, maybe.
I hope so.
Maybe he throws in at the end.
We got their ass. Yeah, that's a win, maybe.
Yeah, they're real confident. Oh, we got them. We can do that, maybe.
It is crazy, though. Look, I know 8 of the next 9 is just – For all intents and purposes, unlikely. I get it. Okay, I'm not advocating that we should believe in that. But let's say they do beat the Rams, right? Let's say they do. They get the Raiders at home, and then they get the Patriots at home. All of a sudden, you win those 3 games. You're 5-6. Then it gets a little bit more tougher, but you're on a 3-game win streak. You go play the Packers Thanksgiving Day. Thursday, anything could happen. Packers have been up and down. All of a sudden, you're six. Okay, I'm done.
I don't see it,
I'm
bro.
Done. Yeah, I'm done.
I don't see it.
I tried. I tried. Dalton.
Hey, them off. You go play the 85 Bears. You sneak that one out. You play the whole 2,000 bucks. You get that one all of a sudden. Solana, it's just.
I can't get there. I don't see. I hope you're right.
I tried.
I haven't seen it. Like, they're going to have to run the ball, keep the games low scoring, and win in the fourth quarter. The Bills game is exactly what we need. That's what we need, Solana. We argued about it last week.
No, you're right. Yeah.
45-40 is not what we need to do. We need 27-24s. We got to have the ball last, and we have to have a big drive late. That's the team we have right now.
The thing is, you had the big drive late against Buffalo. That's the infuriating part. You were down. And you had the big reception on third down to Waddle, and then you had the big touchdown pass to tie the game from Tua to Jalen Waddle. Like, you got the big drive in the fourth quarter, and then you got the stop. But this Jordan Poyer is a secret agent for Buffalo. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. The dude's literally a sleeper agent for Buffalo.
I was trying to make a play.
I just... this is his retirement tour. He's trying to show
well, that
out.
Is correct.
Yeah.
All right. So the Heat tonight at the Suns, as Hawk mentioned, that'll be a 9 p.m. tip-off. You get the Suns tonight. You get the Denver Nuggets on Friday, and then you get Minnesota on Sunday. So we're gonna find out. I think over the next 3 games, are the Heat capable of competing, or are they just gonna be a team that's gonna beat bad teams but lose to good teams?
That's a hell of a stretch there, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put too much weight on tonight's game. Phoenix is what? 6-1?
6-1. No, I'm not saying tonight, but over the next 3.
All right, I'm with you on the – I'm saying specifically tonight's game. I mean, they're not at that level. Like, they may be better than what they've looked, and maybe they can beat some good teams. Tonight seems like a very difficult proposition. Yeah.
Hawks, Suns, Nuggets, Wolves. Those are 3 teams that could win the West.
Do the Nuggets stink this year? I thought I read something about the Nuggets stinking.
They don't stink, but they're a little slow out of the gate. I think they lost their first 2, and now Aaron Gordon is out for like a long period of time. So they don't stink, though. I mean, it's, Jamal Murray is basically taking the season off right now. The dude's always injured. They still got Nikola Jokic, so... Still pretty good. They're 4-3 right now. The West
is going to go 1-2.
The West is stupid.
1-2 in this stretch.
The Warriors are 6-1.
I think they'd be thrilled to get out of there 1-2.
That's sad.
Listen, man, the Heat are in 3rd place right now in the Eastern Conference. So let's settle down here with being thrilled. All right, they're in 3rd place in the East.
Okay.
Are they really? Championship Hustlana.
Are they 3rd place in the East?
They are. Yeah. Knicks are tied with them. They're 3-3, both teams. Nets are 4-4. Pacers 3-4. Magic lost Paolo Banchero for a long time. They're 3-5. And then the Sixers are 1-5 in 14th place, and the Bucks are 1-6 in last place in the Eastern Conference.
How about that? The two bottom teams in the East, the Sixers and the Bucks. That's funny.
I go figure it out.
I tried to tell you guys. I mean, you got the Heat. Come on, top five seed. It's
a lot of 7 games. They play 82.
The Panthers, they're back in action tomorrow. They host the Nashville Predators at the Amerant Bank Arena, where they have not played in quite some time. And then you got some Thursday night football action tomorrow as well. This happens to be a really good game. The Bengals and the Ravens tomorrow. The Bengals probably feel like they're playing for their season. Not that they'd mathematically be eliminated, but they're 4-5 right now. They're in third place in their division behind the Steelers and the Ravens. And you imagine only one team from that division outside of the winner will get a wild card berth. So the Bengals need to win that game tomorrow.
I'm going to ask Pizzola for a pick on that game as well.
All right, guys. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is partly cloudy. It's been raining on and off all day. So that is your weather.
All right, we'll talk with Joe Zagacki, talk a little Hurricanes in the next segment with Joe Zagacki.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Damn, Joe. Back at it again with the khaki pants.
Hawk and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, if you're looking for the best Canes merch, check out Caneswear, caneswear.com. Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, and he'll be on the call this Saturday at noon when our undefeated Miami Hurricanes take on Georgia Tech. And I'll start with the rankings last night, Joe. I know Mario had said he doesn't care what the first rankings say. He says the last rankings matter, which obviously is correct. Are you invested at all in the order right now, in the rankings and the seedings?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Of course. They're talking about the University of Miami in November, and I know it's like, make-believe right now because actually I'm not even sure why they have this show at this point because so many different things can happen. But since they have it, and since the University of Miami is undefeated and a part of it, I'm going to enjoy every second of it while we're in the hunt. So what it does show is Miami's in the mix. If the season ended right now, they would be – then it's confusing, I think, to some, Hawk, because this is the first year of the 12 teams. And so they are ranked fourth, but if the season ended now, they would be seeded third and probably playing the quarterfinal game at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta.
And Joe, are you a fan of the 12? Do you like the expansion? Because it seems fun to me now with the 8 playing and then coming to the four, the big conference champions. Do you like the structure as you're seeing it play out?
Since they're having a playoff, Channing, yes, I do like 12. And I think it's going to go to 14 in a couple of years. But I think it gives – obviously, it gives more teams, more fan bases a chance. More people believe they have an opportunity. The truth is, it's really still only down to 7 teams will get at-large bids. So a lot of teams get left out. But I do like 12. I think that's a good start. Hell, I was happy, 20 years ago when they had the bowl system. But this is fine. We have a playoff. It will be decided, for the most part, on the field. There's still a committee involved in ranking and seeding teams. But if you're late in the season and you've got a chance, you have one loss, or look at Alabama, they had, 2 losses. You have a chance, and you're Miami. If you stub your toe and lose one game here in the last 3, normally that's the kiss of death, but you still have a championship game if you get to that, and you win the championship game, you're back in the top 4. in terms of seeds. So, yeah, I like the 12.
What do you think with the next three games coming up? We've got Georgia Tech on Saturday, then Wake Forest, and then at Syracuse, close out the season. Which scares you the most?
Saturday against Georgia Tech, if that quarterback plays, if he's healthy. Because he's good. He can throw. He can run. They've got some explosive elements to their game. It's a home game for them. By the way, they wear white at home, so it's kind of their white out. Miami will probably be in orange, so people aren't freaked out by it. But they've got, you know, obviously they won the game a year ago. And sometimes I look at the historical matchup. Actually, I look at it all the time. And this series is even, 14-14. And it should not be even. Miami should have a better program, better football program than Georgia Tech. They should not always be in some kind of dramatic dogfight with Georgia Tech. And since Miami's been in the ACC, that's been the case. Whether it was Paul Johnson running that, you know, option offense, or what they have now with Haynes King and, you know, this current coaching staff, Georgia Tech always seems to be a bit of a thorn in Miami's side. So Saturday's game, I think when they if they get to Syracuse undefeated, it will be a highly motivated Miami team. I'll take my chances with Cam Ward on the road in that game. Closing's always the hardest thing to do. But get to that game undefeated, and I'll feel pretty good about it.
And, Joe, you were part of my my authorization to be a Cane this year after the Gators became terrible, so I appreciate it. But as an honorary Cane, I just want to ask a question. The slow starts, Cal game, and then you see the amazing second half. VTech, you see the amazing second half. Duke, then you see the amazing second half. Like, once we, you know, being an honorary Cane, we get to those big games, once we get to the playoffs, I don't know if we can start slow and go out and score 35 in the second half and keep that going. Is there any emphasis? Has anybody said anything about the slow starts?
Well, Channing, yes. And I would say I would have to amend that just a little bit as an honorary member. It's not so much a slow start. It's sustaining early success, because in all of those games, they've had the lead and they've had the ball with a chance to increase the lead. So it has been a case of not being able to sustain prosperity in those games. They were up on Cal. They were up on Virginia Tech going in for a touchdown that would have put them up, I think, 14 at the time. And Cam Ward threw the interception. They had a 10-point lead with the ball against Louisville with like 90 seconds to go in the first half. Then a 14-point lead with Louisville or whatever it was at the end of the first half, and allowed Louisville to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. Then took the second half kickoff, went down the field and scored, but then and ready to put the game away and allowed them to return a kickoff. So I think it's, their problem is getting the lead and not building on it. And to your point, which is kind of interesting, in the second quarter, Miami's numbers, that's their lowest scoring quarter. The second quarter is also their lowest percentage of third down makes in the second quarter. Conversely, in the fourth quarter, they convert third downs like 58% of the time. And they've outscored their opponent in the fourth quarter 131-41. So for some reason, they wait until it's late. But it's getting that lead and then not stockpiling the lead.
What do you think about, we had John Michaels on earlier this week, and this is a controversial take. John Michaels, huge Cane super fan. He says Cam Ward is the most talented quarterback that the University of Miami has ever seen.
Well, he might not be far off. I would say that, okay, he's got 29 touchdown passes, which is tied Steve Walsh, sort of. The asterisk there is in 1988, they didn't include the Orange Bowl game in the season stats. So Walsh officially has or unofficially has 31 touchdowns. But if you want to match the quarterbacks, I would go back to Vinny Testaverde, I think, is the closest comparison, because Vinny could also run, and Vinny created some of the most dynamic plays in University of Miami history. I would think I think that would be my best comparison. And I'm thinking about Jim Kelly. I understand the historical significance of Bernie Kosar. Craig Erickson also was an elusive quarterback, but nobody has made the kind of plays that Cam Ward has made. And I would suggest that those guys probably had a better cast around them than what Cam Ward has. I think, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the Miami receivers, but they're playing at a top level. And we saw, you know, look at what Restrepo broke the record. But, I mean, you're still talking of guys like Moss and Wayne and Michael Irvin that have played that position for other quarterbacks. And I would toss this back at you, Hawk. He might be, think about this for a moment, the best player at Miami since who?
Oh, boy. I mean,
the biggest impact since who? I think off the top of my head, my suggestion would be Willis McGahee, who had a Heisman Trophy type of season in 2002, did not get the Heisman, probably could have had the Heisman, but had a incredible season in 2002.
Biggest impact, though, is a great question. What are the Hurricanes today if Cam Ward's not their quarterback?
They're probably not undefeated. Not winning it. They're not the Gators.
Let's put it nicely.
And they're not Florida State. But, you know, I think that
there's somewhere between where they are now and Florida State.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that's like low hanging fruit. Okay, where are the Chiefs without Mahomes?
Right.
Where are the Patriots without Brady? He's a dynamic player, Cam Ward. One of the best that Miami's ever had. He's worked at it, and he's probably, again, I tell you, he's probably not getting enough credit for the way he is pulling everybody with him. And they do have a lot of talent on this team. But I'm at practice today. Practice is over, and I'm on the field 30 minutes after practice watching him throw the ball to Isaiah Horton, Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George. Practice is over, and they're still playing football. And that's because of his determination and will and want to.
And Joe, I want to that same conversation talking about Cam Ward, you brought up he's not throwing to, you know, Wayne, Reggie, and Santana, and Michael, and Andre Johnson's the name I throw in there because Andre Johnson was hell. But speaking of Xavier Restrepo, is he underappreciated? Because for him to break the record of all these, the names we just brought up, what makes him special? What makes him the guy, Cam's guy? But just what he's done, even with Tyler Van Dyke, even with, you know, the guys he's done, like, he's always got numbers. Do we appreciate what we have right now in Xavier Restrepo?
Probably not. And what makes him is probably the most basic of things, Channing. He does his job. He's supposed to catch the football. He gets open. He catches the ball, and he's dependable. He's there all the time. He's dependable. He's a great teammate. He does what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't do it with, you know, a lot of fanfare. But, again, if you watch him in practice and watch him this morning, here's a guy who just set the record on a record-breaking catch. What a hell of a way to break the record, right? If you're going to do it the way he did. Catch it on the run, have two players on defense collide into each other and run into the end zone. Well, he's not taking any time off in practice. He's going 100 miles an hour today in practice to get better, to make sure that they stay at a high level. Again, he's one of those guys after practice that is staying there. So I think it's his knowledge of the game, his desire to be great, maybe feeling like, you know, he's not the biggest guy out there. So I think he knows he's got to fight for everything on every play, and that's what he does. He fights for everything, and you got a new quarterback coming in here. Cam Ward, I don't know if when he got here, if he knew Xavier Restrepo from Adam, but Xavier Restrepo made damn sure that Cam Ward knew who he was, who he is, and what he's going to mean to him, because he forced it. He said, yeah, let's go. Let's be great together. And he had to establish credibility with his quarterback, and that's what he did. That's what he does on every play.
Hey, Joe, on that same token, I know Restrepo, Cam Ward get most of the attention, rightfully so, by the way, but has the running game kind of exceeded your expectations, especially the last couple weeks? So Martinez and Fletcher last week against Duke combined for, I think, 120-plus. And then the week before against FSU, they combined for 200. That was kind of Damian's breakout party. Like, it's been a lot better, I think, than most people expected.
I think Solana, you know, last week was the lowest they've run for, 126 yards. I think it's been good to very good, overshadowed a little bit by, you know, Cam Ward's plays, because Cam Ward's so dynamic. But I think there's an opportunity for the run game to be even better. I think those guys can be even better and have a bigger impact on the game. Maybe they haven't had to. They did against Florida State. They ran the ball well against Cal until they fell behind. But I think Martinez and Fletcher have a lot left in the tank. I love what they did with A.J. Allen against Louisville. He came off the bench and gave them a really nice changeup. And I think maybe the beauty of this team is A.J. Allen came off the bench against Louisville in the fourth quarter, carried the ball five times for 31 yards, and we really haven't seen him since because it hasn't called for him. It hasn't, his number hasn't needed to be called. We haven't seen a lot of Jordan Lyle lately. So I think over the next three games, the run game will be needed. Will be needed on Saturday against Georgia Tech. They're tough to run on. They're in the top 50 with their run defense. And this is the time of the year where teams are worn down and the most physical team wins. And I think Martinez and Fletcher and the Miami offensive line are in a great place right now to impose their will on the opponent. And I hope that happens.
Joe Zagacki, listen to him Saturday. Kickoff is noon and pregame begins at 8 a.m. right here on 560 WQAM. Enjoy National Nachos Day, Joe.
Is today National Nachos Day, huh? I didn't know that.
That is today. That is today. Yeah. Where's the best nachos? Right. Flanagan's?
You know, Hawk, I would not go to Flanagan's and order nachos.
Really?
No, I never even thought of ordering ribs? Nachos at Flanagan's. Ribs, steak, burger, great mahi, nachos, not my top five.
Mahi.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll have you back on Mahi Day, and we'll really chop it up. All right. See you,
well,
Joe.
Tell Crowder to catch us on Mahi. Yes, sir.
Joe, it's cold now. The Mahi are leaving, but when it warms up, I got you, brother. Joe, would you, because they gave me hell about buying stuff off the internet. Do you go on apps and buy stuff off like OfferUp and different, you know, what's it called? Facebook Marketplace. Would you buy something from somebody and meet them at a convenience store and pick up a picture frame?
I would not. Trent Chang sounds like a sure way of being ripped off.
Right. And being shamed because you're the voice of the Miami Hurricanes. And what the hell are you doing here at my little garage sale online?
Maybe Amazon every now and then, but I would not. Nope.
Right. Good for you.
I'm meeting somebody at 6:45 tonight to pick up a shelf.
That's ridiculous. You can buy your own shelf from a retailer. New. You don't have to buy a used shelf.
The same guy that bought Hawk's mattress.
He's going to sell me Hawk's shelf.
What a disgusting mattress that was. See you, Joe.
Bye.
Rob Pizzola will join us in the 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Appel, is there any possibility that Billy the Marlin is a bird?
Hawk and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.